You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the youth workers that we had in South Auckland worked with the young people to make sure that they were feeling safe, they had a good set of friends around them, supporting them through career opportunities and what they were thinking about for the future. So they provide a kind of a mentor, an adult around them who can soundboard for them when they're thinking about choices they're going to make. Obviously, we've got a lot of young people in South Auckland who, where gangs are prominent, youth gangs in particular, are a temptation for our young people to join in. And as I've said previously, one of the challenges we have is when you've got a society where you feel like you don't belong, you can turn to the youth gang or to the gang because you know you're going to find certain structures, routines, you're going to find friendship. And often you find food. And if that's not what you're getting from society, then you're going to turn to the gang because you'll find it in that family. And so the youth workers were able to work alongside them, soundboard off them as to why they were making those kinds of choices, why they were feeling they should go there. And if the youth worker could provide some support, whether it was getting some basic food into the home or just finding an alternative youth group that they could be a part of, then that was the function of the youth worker. The other side of the youth worker is giving us the necessary intelligence so that we can work with community organisations, the police, the justice system, and understanding how the gangs were operating. And so they act as that middle person that everyone can trust. They're not narking on anybody. They're not telling anybody who's doing what. What they're doing is they're acting as the conduit so that we understand what the gangs are up to. We also understand what the challenges of the young person are. And so as when you've got wraparound services, you can support people in that way.
So in 2017, $3 million was cut from the funding towards gang crime prevention in Auckland. Do you know why the funding was cut?
No, I'm not sure. I wasn't around at that time. I was involved back in 2008, 2009, when I published research on youth gang activity under the Old Families Commission back then. But I was shocked to learn that in 2017, that year, you know, working from where I was, shocked to learn as to why that funding had been withdrawn. And you look at it, $3 million is just a drop in MSD funding, if you think about it. And I think it was a really poor move. I was trawling through some of the articles that were written at the time, and everyone came out and said, well, you're going to see an increase in youth gang activity and young people in crime. And sure enough, that's what we're seeing out in South Auckland in particular. So for a budget that is an absolute drop in the bucket, it surprises me, it astounds me that the money was withdrawn in the first place. And now, you know, there's a whole number of us who are calling for the same level of resource. We need it pumped out into South Auckland to start off with now. I've been speaking with philanthropic organisations just to see what we can do as a bit of a gap stop at this stage while we work with whoever's prepared to work with us. I've made approaches to different people so that we can see some of that funding come back in, because our youth workers are no longer on the ground. We've lost the intelligence. We've lost people who are working alongside these young people, these youth, who are at the mercy of some of these gangs, and it's just not making any sense for them at all.
How much would a return or an increase of youth work funding really help tackle this issue and curb violence in the community and bring support to those that need it?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the $3 million was paying for in the first place, but we definitely need, I would say, anywhere between 15 and 20 youth workers across the city. So whilst, for me, I've got a particular bias towards Manukau and making sure we've got youth workers there, if you've got, say, half of them based out in South Auckland, the other half in other parts of Central and West Auckland, where we know there are hot spots, we know that there are gang activities going on in those areas, then we get the youth workers there to support the young people. It's that simple. Look, the truth of the matter is there are people my age who have kind of, you know, we're all a bit older now and over 40, but there's a group of gangsters who are in the system over 40, and unfortunately they're at a bit of a loss to the system. There's a generation where you almost have to say, okay, well, we can't reach that generation or it's going to take us too long. What we can do is get youth workers on the ground now to work with the young people who are thinking about this, and a lot of them get drawn into the gang life at around year 10. So we're talking about 13, 14-year-olds, right up to people who are in their mid-20s, late 20s. So the youth workers can work with that group of people first and foremost. So I think you're going to need greater support for those people who are my age, who are over 40 now. And I think that's much more of a whānau order type approach, but we don't have that luxury at the moment. My concern is that there are young people who are going to fall to the mercy of youth gangs over the next little while. There's a lot of fear in the community. And if there's a lot of fear in the community and you're a young person, you're going to be thinking, okay, what do I do to defend myself? If I'm caught in this, what am I going to do? And a lot of them will be thinking, maybe the best thing to do to defend myself is to join one of the gangs, because if I join the gang, at least I'll know that there's a certain level of protection for me. And that's the danger. If we don't have youth workers on the ground now, we're going to see young people walking towards those gangs because at least they'll feel a sense of safety from them. You get the youth workers in the community now, you get people talking, especially the youth gang leaders, and we say to them, hang on, let's call a truce, guys. There's no need for this activity. If you've got inter-gang stuff going on, you guys sort out your stuff, but we don't want this spilling out into the community because that's where our young people will end up.
Expanding on other solutions outside of youth workers, you've also said that you're attempting to reach out to gangs. How do you think that'll help?
Yeah, I think it's important that everyone feels like they're reminded that they're an essential part of the community. And gangs have been part of South Auckland for a long time. They've been all over the country for a long time. And I think what we've got to understand is often it's easy for those who sit outside the parts of Auckland that I live in and church in and shop in and look in and say, oh my gosh, it must be so unsafe. It's not unsafe at all. I've run activities previously in Paul Muddy where I think it was the Black Power we worked with. This is going back some years. And all of them felt really safe. So the gang leaders want just as much as we want as a society for our kids. They want them to be able to access school, get a good education, and go on to be great citizens in society. The gang culture is often just the place where they've found a sense of belonging. It's easy for politicians just to come in and attack gangs because it's cheap politics and you know you're going to get some attention. What I'm saying is let's work with them to ensure that internally they're okay. And my concern is that even the children of the gang members might want something different. And then my job as community leader is to facilitate some of that discussion. So by getting the gang leaders to talk, they can talk to me, and at some stage, hopefully, they'll talk to each other and come to some kind of an agreement or an arrangement where they'll be able to say, right, okay, let's keep our stuff amongst ourselves. Let's keep our own families safe. Let's remind ourselves of why we had children in the first place and make sure that this doesn't spill out into the community. My uncles back in the old days were part of the mob, so I know how they work. And it's just a matter of us working with them, talking with them, and having these conversations. It's not going to be difficult, but the gangs want to speak to someone they can trust. And for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been reaching out to them through intermediaries. I don't have a direct contact with them because I'm not involved with them. Look, if my brother was still alive, it would be a whole lot easier for me because my brother used to be involved in gangs. And, you know, Big Tom, many of the gangs in Ōtara will remember my brother Big Tom. And they would have, you know, would have been a whole lot easier for me. But I've got to go through intermediaries for me. I've got to be careful about what I say in public spaces because the gangs are looking at me thinking, well, is FS or someone we can trust? Do we want to talk with him? Or is he just going to go out and blurt something that we've told him? And so I want to speak to the gang leaders individually, and then I want to see if we can have a conversation together. The point is they've got to be able to trust whoever they're speaking with. And the intermediaries are saying, yep, Fessel, they're trusting of you. They know that you're a boy from Ōtara, you grew up in Ōtara, you go to church, you're all those things, so there's a level of trust. But whether they're ready to have the conversation yet is the next step, and I'm more than open to having it with them. And the point is, I don't have to be the person they speak to. They can find someone else that they want to speak to as long as it's someone they trust. But we've got to get the conversation going. And so there's multiple conversations that need to be happening. And I'm happy as the local councillor, as someone that young people are aware of and know of, as the person who might help facilitate the conditions for these conversations.
Do you plan on introducing or supporting any other potential solutions?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the immediate thing I think we need is having youth workers on the ground. Let's get people talking. Let's get our young people back on track, in my view, and making sure that they're on the straight and narrow, as we'd say in church. I think there are other solutions. We've got to make sure that our young people have access to education. We've got a schooling system that for many they're falling out of. And so if our young people are falling out of the education system, who's going to be there to pick them up? So we've got to deal with that problem that we've got. We've got to keep our young people out of court. Look, Judge Andrew Beecroft, the Children's Commissioner, has often said, a kid in sport stays out of court. So we've got to look at, well, what are the community organisations around us? What sporting activities are available to them? Do we have open drop-in centres? We've got libraries and South Auckland, many of whom have free Wi-Fi. If you hang around the library late enough, if someone in the library forgets to turn off the Wi-Fi, you will find young people hanging around the library to do their homework late at night because they can access free Wi-Fi. So there's a whole range of solutions we can have here, but we've got to make sure that everything's supported. You know, we've got a lot of young people who are going to school hungry, but a lot of young people who want to take part in sport, but they can't afford their boots for rugby. So we as a society have to support and nurture them and make those kinds of provisions so that our young people can go forward and be ambitious. We don't have all of those support networks in place. We know that many of our families are still, you know, roughing it really bad out there. So, you know, people living in garages, overcrowded housing, people sleeping on the streets and in cars. That's what we've got to deal to. Those are the systemic issues that haven't changed. And as a result, young people look at people like me, they look at society, and their first instinct is to believe we don't care because they're living in cars. They're the ones being moved around. Can we fit them in the garage even? And that's a society that is lacking compassion. And if that's the message our young people are taking away from society, then they're going to disengage, deal to some of those key core issues in society. And I think you're going to have young people feel like they belong. Auckland is their home. Ōtara is a safe place to grow up, to raise your kids. And then they're going to feel like they are in a city that loves them and welcomes them. Until we get all of those things right, I think we're going to have these challenges for a long while yet.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.